Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cut the Shock Entertainment Report, Sunday edition. This is Seek Truth Sunday. You know, we like to seek the truth in our discussion. It's all about God. This has never been a gossip show. The Entertainment Lifestyle Podcast, where we do share our opinions. But one thing about it, from the beginning, day one in March 2011, all about coming in and leaving, being more informed and something from each other. So thank you. If Cousin Lynn calls in, she will discuss some of the, I'm looking at her page. And she's posting some breaking news right here in Mississippi. She's in Dallas, Fort Worth. Some breaking news right in Bay St. Louis, Bay Springs, that I had not heard of. Some teens shooting again at a party. I remember in the day we could have house parties, barbecues, fish fries, boat parties. All of that good stuff and not a problem. If there were a disagreement, it would easily be nipped in the bud and everybody gone and continue to have a good time. This is just sad what is going on all over America and the world. But for some reason, it is going on right here in America with these young people, with these teens. And I've heard international reporters say that we're not seeing this around the world. But we are seeing it here in America. So this is something. But congratulations to all of the draft pick. I'm looking at NFL Network website right now. So the final, and there's an article written regarding the final quick snap grade for all 32. Well, I just read Coach Prime's tweet congratulating the JSU student football player that he coached. And he's very pointed with the NFL for not drafting more BCU athletes. That's why I just want to tweet. He's highly disappointed. And highly disappointed. And I'm sure he would be talking about it on his son's well-off media YouTube channel and the other respective YouTube channels that he's featured on. So I can't wait to hear more. So Chad Reuter, draft analyst with NFL.com, says that the immediate draft grade provides a foundation for the future evaluation. And so waiting 3 years to assess draft classes without accounting for how the decision was viewed at the time usually leads to revisionist history. So check out the article, he goes on to say that these 2023 NFL draft quick snap grades reflect value. I think each pick or set of picks, the slot and the fit, college film, athleticism, scores, trades, and the capital exchange, both picks and players are factored into these grades, as well as they also play a significant part in determining the future of a franchise. Selections and trades in the early, there's a note that says that selections and trades in the early rounds carry a heavier weight in the overall grade than those in the later rounds. So, let's see. A big shout out to American Idol. I don't know how many of you love American Idol, but I have been a fan since the beginning. And, my late mom and I, we love watching American Idol. There are two Mississippians that are in the top 12 on American Idol. So that will be coming on tonight. So, Cousin Linda is on. I wasn't sure if I was going to go down the list of the NFL drafts. I will go down the list of the round one. Bryce Young, quarterback from Alabama, C.J. Stroud, quarterback for Ohio State, Will Anderson Jr., Anthony Richardson, quarterback, Florida, number four, number five, Devin Witherspoon, cornerback, Illinois. Six, and I did watch Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Six, Paris Johnson Jr., QT, Ohio State. Seven, Tyree Wilson, Texas Tech. And I know I'm not naming the team. Eight, Bijan Robinson, RB, Texas. Nine, Jalen Carter, DT, Georgia. 10, Darnell Wright, QT, Tennessee. 11, Pete Strusky. Oh, yeah, I seen when he, QT, I seen all of those. Northwestern. 12, Jimmy Gibbs, running back, Alabama. 13, Luca Van Ness, LB, Iowa. 14, Broderick Jones. James, QT, Georgia. Will McDonald, Edge, Iowa State. Emmanuel Forbes, cornerback. Mississippi State. Christian Gonzalez, cornerback, Oregon. That's 17. 18, Jack Campbell, LB, Iowa. 19, is it Khalijah Kansi, QT, Pittsburgh. 20, Jason Smith, Nigiba. Oh, yeah, I love his story. Wide receiver, Ohio State. I love all his stories. Quentin Johnston. 21, wide receiver, TCU, TCU will be playing Coach Prime, speaking of Coach Prime. I think that'll be the first game of the season. Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC. 23, Deontay Banks, CB, Maryland. Dalton Kincaid, T.E., Utah. 26, Maisie Smith, D.T., Michigan. 27, Anton Harrison, QT, Oklahoma Sooners, yeah. Miles Murphy, Edge, Clemson, 28, 29, Brian Breesy, DT, Clemson, 30, Nolan Smith, Edge, Georgia, 31, Felix, and 2, Dickey Azoma, Edge, Kansas State. Those are the top 31 round one draft picks. And you all can check out the NFL.com, check out this awesome article. And I will go deep into detail because I'm on this phone right now. I just want to make a shout out to the NFL and to the American Idol contestants, but especially those two that are representing the state of Mississippi. They happen to be from like the same county. I think both of them have amazing stories and are so talented. Well, you know what? The talent this year has been off the chain, and even the judges and Ryan Seacrest are it's just been amazing watching American Idol, especially this season because of the talent. And Katy Perry gives credit to the way they are seeking talent now, you know, in social media, talking directly, the auditions being online has made it so amazing to find talent in the smallest of the smallest towns. And so it's just been amazing watching American Idol this season. And Cousin Linda, I know, is a big fan of the Masked Singer. And maybe she'll talk about what's been going on the Masked Singer also. But Cousin Linda's on, and we will talk hot topics and continue to talk about Black history, too, the importance of Black history. Hello, Cousin Linda. How are you?
I'm fine, Cousin Bethany. How are you?
I'm doing great. It never fails. I looked on your page, and I did not know anything about the kids showing out in South Mississippi at the party. I look on your page, and oh, my God, shooting at a party.
I don't understand what all the shooting is about. It seems now that it has become a fad.
Yes, I don't understand it either. I know back in the day, even in back in the 80s, when I was a teenager, a teen in the 80s and late 80s, we had the most fun at house parties, barbecues, not families. Look, you know how our family loves to have barbecues and fish fries and dinners. I don't know what's going on either at these teen parties and then these family gatherings. I do not know what is going on.
You think it's a trend because
I don't see it happening around the world.
No, I don't think it's a fad. That was a little sarcasm. I was just thinking that it has become so common, you know, like fads appear and then they die out. However, this, I don't know, this is some kind of phenomenon. It is just increasing. Every time you think it's going to go away, people are going to come to their senses. You read another story about it. And I was looking online, and I saw where they had the Lynch Street Festival yesterday.
Yes.
If I were in Jackson, I would have been afraid to go because I would have been thinking that some idiot is going to decide to shoot up the place.
Exactly.
You know, it's sad that you don't want to go anywhere because you don't know if there's some lunatic in the crowd who's just going to start shooting for no reason. You know, one while it was, you disrespected me and road rage. But now it just seems like, well, I just feel like going out, killing up some people, and I'll do that. No rhyme or reason.
Exactly. But the senseless throwing rocks at drivers on highways.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Speaking of road rage, that is crazy what's happening all across America. They're on the rock.
I remember they were doing that, it seems like it might have been about 10 years ago, and now all of a sudden some teenagers have decided they want to bring that back. And that is extremely dangerous.
I don't know. You might have been being sarcastic, Cousin Linda, but I think you, investigators, if you're listening to us and we are popular with the law enforcement community, it might be a trend, Cousin Linda. It might be a fad. You know, this is what's in. Let's shoot up the place.
Yeah.
You know, but that's crazy.
It is, because you're killing people. It's not like you're using, what do you call it, paintball guns or something, you know, having fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is deadly. You're disrupting people's lives. You're hurting families and friends, ruining your life when you get caught, because you're going to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And life after prison is not very productive. And you might
right.
not survive prison. You, with all the killings and fights that go on in prison, you might not come out alive. So I can't understand it. I don't know what goes on in these people's minds. And you saw where the man killed somebody because the neighbor came over and said, well, you're something about the basketball. I can't remember. There's so many of them.
Oh,
but
the
neighbor killed. Mm-hmm.
The girl
he
and her daddy, and then they did get him in
yeah.
Florida. But then the killing that happened in Texas yesterday morning, overnight Friday night, where the baby was crying and the guy was outside shooting his rifle, and they simply asked him not to shoot his rifle, so he decided to kill five people, children, adults. And two of the women that died, I think one of them was shielded the little baby that was crying. But he just decided to go on in their house and shoot, go room to room. That is
it
crazy.
It would be different if people had small caliber handguns, revolvers, you know, little 22s or something. You wouldn't be able to do all this damage. But with the weaponry that they have now, it seems like some third world country armies with the weaponry that's available in this country.
It is. Wow. So who
no,
do we look at? NRA, what the process that people go through to get their weapons?
If I were going to point the blame, I'd start at the top, and I'd consider the top the NRA, and under them, the politicians who benefit from the NRA.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to have the kinds of weapons that people have. I don't have any problem with owning a weapon. That makes sense.
For protection and for hunting. For protection, for hunting, for collectors.
Yeah,
for collectors. Because there are many, I know, that collect them.
Yeah, but when we speak of hunting, you don't hunt with AR-15s and AR-17s or whatever, or AK-15, whatever the calibers are. I don't even know. It's so many
right.
of them. But you can't hunt with that. And,
right.
I mean, whatever you're shooting, it wouldn't be fit. I don't even think you could have it taxidermied.
When I talk with law enforcement, police officers, they tell me that those AK-47s and whatever, AR-15s, that they're I'm like, why aren't they easily confiscated or taken off the streets? I'm told that they're considered rifles, but they're not traditional rifles. They're not they're not traditional rifles. They're war rifles.
Mm-mm. Cousin Bethany, hold on. I'm getting a phone call. Hold on.
Okay.
I mean, continue with the show. I'm going to come back. Hold on.
Okay. I'm so glad my puppy Salt Bae had quieted down. He decided to bark right before the show. Yeah, so what do you do, listening audience, to stop the violence in America and globally? The family events, teenage parties, retail therapy is amazing to go shopping and window shopping now all around the world. Sadly, we, regardless of where we're shopping at, we have to really make sure we're safe shopping. When retail therapy and going shopping was an escapism, still is, but we have to take certain precautions now. When I go places, I always like to know where the restroom is and the nearest exit. You know, ever since I was a kid, I guess that's how I was trained, even by Cousin Linda. Cousin Linda, besides my mom and my siblings and other relatives, one of the first to teach me how to go out in public and dine at nice restaurants and all of that. But just going any place is important to know your exit strategy or where the nearest restroom is. So we definitely need to think about action on safer world, like Michael Jackson always did. Let's make the world a better place. So let's focus on making the world a better place. Even starting in our own little world, right? Our own little world. How we take care of ourselves and our families and relate to others and respond to others also. So, wow. What is your truth? You know, we always want to know truth in what we hear and what we read in the news. As like I mentioned, this has never been a gossip show, but I like gossip shows and gossip programs, but I've never been one to gossip though, and I don't take part in gossiping about people, but. Speaking the truth, the fact of what is actually going on. Like recently, for example, as we talk about law enforcement and crime, here locally in Jackson, our police chief for him also, Chief David, one of our local news stations did their homework. He had recently reported our city government, our mayor and city council, that there had been a decrease in crime, 30% in crime. When one of the affiliates, I think it was our CBS affiliate, WJTV Channel 12, they did their research, and it's true that there had been a decrease in crime, but not by 30%. 11%. So when we speak our truth and also provide our truth, what do we look for? You know? And when we provide our truth with what we're sharing and what we're reporting, that's why I like to give facts when I am referencing articles or videos here on the podcast, and also just throughout social media and in person. I like to share. Well, one reason why the show is called Culture Shock Entertainment Report, because from a child, I've always loved writing reports and essays. And where some people didn't like to write theses, I did like to write theses, reports, and so on. I love to write, I love to research, and I like to put together in my own form also. But now we have GPT chat now, and wow, that's a whole nother topic, isn't it? Because I've seen a story on ABC last week where, wow, a lot of students are, instead of writing the report, they're going to GPT chat way. And sometimes the fact checker, if you've written a report on your own, sometimes the evaluator that some teachers use, professors use, it will misreport and say that, oh, you use the GPT chat. So this one professor that was interviewed said that she's going to go back to the old-fashioned way of assigning her essays. Pen and paper, pencil and paper. No more using a computer. Pen and paper, turn those suckers in. And I agree with her, you know. Nothing like real research. Unbelievable, cursive writing is out. But I hear some schools are bringing it back. So that is great. Good. Oh, my God. I remember when my late mom and I, big fan of the show, I remember when we seen reports that cursive writing would be discontinued in some schools. We could not believe it. We could not believe it. You know, I've seen reports that American kids are failing in reading. And, you know, Cousin Linda had written a book, and, you know, there are books that I plan to write, been planning to write. We're avid readers, and many people that we associate with are avid readers. We know many of the listeners are avid readers because this show is all about intellectuals coming together. And there's an intellectual in all of us. I feel there's an intellectual in all of us. All of us, regardless of who you are and what you think about yourself or what you've been told. We all are intellectuals. So,
Cousin Bethany? Oh, I was just sorry to interrupt. I'm just letting you know I'm back. That was a friend of mine that I hadn't heard from in a long time, so I had to take that call.
Oh, yes. Definitely. People, and someone you have not spoken with? Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. Some of our relatives, I've been planning to call. I need to stop putting it off. But I'm so glad you took the call. Your friend in that area or not?
Yeah, she's in this area.
So, yeah, but look, I have been freaking talking about certain things, and at first I talked about the crime, international crime, where do you start, you know, from the teen parties to special events. There was a time we would go shopping if it was just window shopping, retail therapy. Now when we go out for retail therapy, you got to be mindful of your surroundings, even though that was important all along, but now it's really important. And then when you chimed in, I was discussing reading, the importance of reading, and it's sad that American kids, and you've been a substitute teacher, American kids are failing in reading. So
say this, Bethany, but I don't know how children have gotten so far behind now that they can't read. It's like you say, I've been subbing, and I've got to take into consideration, I sub at middle school, so I presume that everybody knows how to read, and I will write things on the board, basic stuff. And I'll tell them, you know, your assignment is on the board. Your teacher left instructions for you to do this and this. And something, you know, will say, well, you know they can't read. And I don't want to embarrass them by reading it to them. And a lot of times they don't even pay any attention to me anyway. But the lack of reading is just appalling in this country. Students do not want to read. I don't know if it's because they can't read, but they're just so consumed with these cell phones. If we could get rid of cell phones out of school, that would make a whole lot of difference. Because I used to beg them to do their work, but it's to the point now, if they don't want to do it, I'm just like, well, okay, I can't make you do it. Because the principals and assistant principals used to say, well, walk around and make sure they're doing their work. Can do that, but, you know, it might trigger a fight. And it's just not worth
right.
it. And a lot of students just cannot read. And by the time you get to the ninth grade, ninth through 12th grade and can't read, it's highly unlikely that you're going to know how to read. And they have all these counselors and advocates and stuff who coach them. They make Saturday school
yes.
available. But you like they say, you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. And if these kids don't want to learn how to read, if they think they can get through life just looking at videos on TikTok and whatever else, I just say, you know, I'm in a position where I can just say, I give up. But as a teacher or someone in administration, they have to be more concerned. And they put all this emphasis on passing these standardized tests. I don't really know what goes on with that, but you've got children that can't read, and they're making 98 and 100 on these tests. And I had one student, this was last year when I was subbing, rarely came to school. And when he did, he'd come in and go to sleep. And he called me over to his desk. He said, Miss, they refer to you as Miss. He said, Miss, he said, tell me how I have a 100 average in this class and I don't do nothing. $1,000 question. I have no idea how you have a 100 average. Because he didn't. And a lot of them, they'll be showing me their test scores for like a semester, and they have 89, 95, 100. And I know they haven't been doing anything. And I said, how did you get these scores? Oh, Miss, we do our work. We just don't do our work in here. Well, I'm thinking, well, you ought to have a zero in here, but they have anywhere from 70 to 100. So I don't know what's going on in the school system. And I know one principal offered me a regular job teaching at his school, and I told him, no, I couldn't do it. I'm not dedicated enough. Because if I can't start out at kindergarten, in which I don't want to teach little bitty children, but you can't do anything with these children who consider themselves adults. They are going to do what they want to do. If they don't want to do something, they don't do it. I can't teach in that kind of environment.
Right. And that's what I mentioned, because I mentioned that's one reason why the show is called Cut the Shock and Entertainment Reports, because I've always liked writing reports, essays, when some people scrunch, when it was thesis time. I love it. But now with the GPT chat, I seen a story last week on ABC where there's a problem in colleges now where the kids are going to the GPT chat, having GPT chat to write their papers for them.
Well, I was going to say they no longer have to do anything, because I was subbing in algebra for a long time. And the regular teacher was telling me that these kids are doing, you know, are getting scores of 100 because they have the answers. And she would tell me, she said,
right.
Tell the students, don't just give me the answers. They have to show me on paper how they got the answer. And that's what I tell them. And so I said, Ms., I'm not going to call her name, I can't understand how they're getting the answers. She said, oh, I know now. And I said, well, she said, one student told her, Siri gave us the answers. complex equations, computations. They just, and I wouldn't even know how to go to Siri to get these answers. But she said, well, yeah, one guy told her that they go to
and
Siri.
And you're taking
and
a
Siri,
test, too.
Well, they can't have their phones when they're taking tests, but, you know, their assignments in school, their classwork during the day. And she said they just would you go to Siri and get the answers. And she said they feel like they don't have to show how they got the answer, you know, like we did when we were in school. You couldn't just
right.
go to the back of the book and get the answer. You had to show how you got the answer. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I really tried and struggled when I first started subbing because I really wanted them to learn, wanted them to do their work. And it was, I mean, it was combative.
Well, do you ever hear from the parents? Do you ever get to talk one-on-one?
Well, no, you know, as a sub, you don't do that. But
what are they thought?
Well, every now and then, a parent will come to the school and be concerned about what's going on with their students. But I found a lot of parents are afraid of their children. They kind of let them do what they want to do. I guess, you know, it might be the point where you, as parents, you might get shot. Or whatever, because when I would try to threaten them with, well, I'm going to ask Mr. Blah, blah, principal, you know, to call your parents, they didn't seem to have any fear. Some of them did, but for the most part, they don't fear anything or anybody. You can't threaten them with, and Beth, this goes way back to when I was a student teacher at Brinkley, and I would tell them, you know,
you're
a zero.
Out. Your voice had gone out. I didn't know what had happened for about 15 seconds.
Oh, okay. When I was a student teacher at Brinkley, and the students, some of them wouldn't do their work, and I'd tell them they were getting a zero, they didn't care. And there was nothing I could do. You couldn't keep them after school. That was a no-no, you know, law or regulation or something where you couldn't keep a student after the last period.
I remember teachers used to say, I would like to talk with you after school. I mean, you just had to figure out a way. Yeah.
No.
But why?
Because I know. That's what I thought that would be some type of punishment to make them come back after school and do their work or whatever. No, you couldn't keep them after school. And they didn't care. Mm-hmm. So what? You're going to give me a zero. Okay.
Ooh. Bro, I'm talking about like fetch assignments. But, yeah, now they don't care. Well, give me the zero. Ooh, we would be like, oh, my God, I need to talk to that teacher. Because I do not want a zero or anything negative.
And I hate to admit this, but there was some little plagiarism going on with me when it was time to do reports and stuff.
I mentioned that, Cousin Linda, right before time in. Let me hear this.
Oh, really? Yeah, I would have to go to that encyclopedia and copy verbatim. Because sometimes, you know, the assignments were extremely difficult. And if it was a subject that you weren't really thoroughly knowledgeable about, you might have to do a little plagiarizing and try to take credit for it. A lot of times the teacher knew that you had copied something from some book or whatever. But we would do what we could to try to get a good grade. I want an A on this report, you know. But now everything, all they have to do is just go to whatever it was you were talking about that I've seen on TV. And everything is on
And we thought going to the encyclopedia was something, but now they have Siri and Alexa.
And Wikipedia. Everything. They don't have to do anything. And then they don't want to
remember
that.
Those footnotes? Remember those little books, little footnote books?
Yes. Encyclopedias got me through college. I spent a lot of time with encyclopedias.
I mean, it's hard to believe people don't need encyclopedias. I'm still addicted to thesauruses and dictionaries, and there's nothing like looking through an old-fashioned encyclopedia.
Exactly. And I still enjoy reading fiction, novels, and
what I mentioned. We are avid readers. You even an author, and I'm behind on authoring my book. And I'm like, that is just,
well, don't
so
worry
much
about
fun
it.
To read and write.
You can go to whatever that app is now and just tell them, I want a book, and it's about so-and-so. It'll go ahead, and I need 356 pages, and it'll go ahead and do it for you. It's just sad. I mean, people don't realize that your brain will turn to mush if you don't use it.
But you mentioned your fiction is popular again. Well, I don't, not that it wasn't popular.
Yeah, I enjoy murder mysteries.
And is your book still on the market?
Well, it's always been on demand. You can still go to bn.com or amazon.com, and they print it. Yeah. Or I could order a slew of them and try to sell them, which I don't want to go that route. But, yeah, it's still available.
Oh, great. Tell us the name of your book and be in it. And I thought you could still buy it at Amazon.
Barnes & Noble, BN.com, and Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. Or ExLibris.com, the publisher.
Oh,
and ExLibris.
Yes.
ExLibris is... XLIB as in boy, RIS.com, ExLibris.com. I'm sure they'd be glad to
tell us the name of it and what it's about again.
It's Myrna's Adventure. That's Myrna, MYRNA apostrophe S, Myrna's Adventure. Friends. One is a female, one is a gay male. They start out as bank tellers who get fired from their jobs at the bank because they have it out with a very prejudiced person. And they go on this adventure. Myrna is involved with some people, and it's dealing with drug smuggling. I don't want to give too much of it away if people want to read it. And Myrna,
it sounds like a movie or an Amazon original.
Yeah, Myrna is trying to find out who's smuggling these drugs in Paris to the United States, and she's kind of working undercover, and they want to capture the drug smugglers. And her friend, his name is Kilo Bell in the book. He's supposed to be helping Myrna with trying to figure out who the drug smugglers are and to bring them to justice. But he's so busy going nightclubbing and having fun in Paris that he's kind of forgetting all about what he's supposed to be doing. So I thought it was kind of cute because, you know, Paris is one of my favorite cities, and I wanted to incorporate that. Mm-hmm. Yes, and Myrna has her little whatevers as well. She's not such a sweet little pure innocent thing. She has that little gig on the side that's illegal.
The Myrna's Adventure, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And people wanted me to write a sequel.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to repeat where it could be found.
Oh, I was just going to say, people wanted me to do a sequel, and I said no, because it took me 10 years, I think, to finally complete Myrna's Adventure. I'd had the idea for a long, long, long time, and it was during one of my periods of unemployment, and I said, I have all this time on my hands. I think I'm going to go ahead and complete it, and I did, finally.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So now I don't feel bad regarding books that I plan to, that I've been researching and writing on. I started on a book regarding our socioeconomic situations here in America, the rise and fall of our middle class, southern middle class. And mother was so excited about me writing this. But then I'm like, wait, it's not just the middle class. And this was, I guess, around the time when you released Myrna's Adventure. And so I haven't completed that yet. So much has been going on. And then I find myself in that situation, the rise and fall of the middle class, of the southern middle class. But it's like the whole country. Yeah, it's like, okay. But like, I need to finish that book and also a cookbook. We need to get together and write a book about gatherings and events and, you know, a cookbook, and then talk about, you know, parties and gatherings and the things that we grew up doing, like many families.
Yeah. When you were talking about the middle class, and the other class that's below the middle class or whatever in this country, it's really sad what has happened. I mean, on the income that I have, I do what I used to be able to do. I used to be able to take $1,000, go to Paris, France for 5 days and six nights or whatever, and just have a ball. $1,000, that was airfare and hotel. And if you know where to eat, you know, if you know where to go to eat, you don't have to go to five-star and Michelin-star restaurants in Paris. You can just go to a regular restaurant. And we'll just say $1,500 and have a blast.
That's for the parents now, how much would it be?
Well, hotels are anywhere from $300 a night up. And airfare is $1,200, $1,300, $1,400.
Wow.
It's terribly expensive or overpriced, in my opinion.
Right.
You're going to need about, in my opinion, I think you need about $2,500 to have a decent vacation.
Right.
And I could just go on a whim back in the day, just pull out my old debit card or credit card, and I'm going to Paris. Like, I was working at the time at AAA, and I had gone to Paris in December, and it was March, and I happened to have one of the travel books on Paris, and this young man passed by and saw it, and he passed by, and we just stopped, he stopped, and we started talking, and he was saying that he was going to go to Paris in a couple of weeks, and I said, really? Do you mind if I come along? And he said, no, I don't mind. And just like that, I booked a tour to Paris. He didn't show up, but I was like, well, that's not going to stop me. So I went ahead and went. But I had just been there in December, and then it was March, and I turned around and went back that quick. I mean, it was just that affordable. And now, ain't no way in the world I could do that. If I go to Paris one time a year, I'm doing good, and I haven't been there since 2010.
Okay, I'm on. I had to mute the phone. Yes, I had to mute the phone because I had to excuse myself. I was listening, though, but I had to mute the phone so no background noise. Wow.
Yeah, I could count on going at least once a year, every year, or going somewhere. But now when I go online, and I have frequent flyer miles, I have at least one free international trip, but when I look at the hotel, and I'm talking about mediocre hotels, you know, not just really nice hotels in very nice locations, basic hotels, and I like to do real nice ones when I travel. It's just outrageous, in my opinion, outrageously overpriced, because you've got to eat.
Okay. You did Dubai in 2017, So it's more way more expensive than when you went in 2017.
Yeah, I think Dubai is still a little affordable. But
whoa!
Like, you know, I tell you,
because
yeah,
yay.
Yeah,
I dreamt we were shopping in Dubai at a Dubai mall. You said it's two or three. I dreamt that we were shopping at a Dubai mall a couple months ago. No joke. We were having so much fun.
Yeah, Dubai, you can still go there. In fact, I get emails from Emirates Airlines every day, and they have these sales. Yeah, and I think this morning I was looking at one of the sales, and from the U.S. to Dubai, $900 and something, but you have to be careful with Emirates Airlines because they will quote you a price, and you're thinking it's round trip. You'll be thinking it's round trip, but it's actually one way.
Oh.
So, yeah, you've got to really, when you book an airline reservation with them, you got to make sure that it's round trip. Because, like I said, they will stick these little cheap prices out there. And then when you start scheduling your reservation, you'll say, oh, that's one way. So when I see like $900.
You might love it there, but you plan to come back to the States.
Yeah, I don't want to be just totally broke. And you can find reasonable priced hotels. A lot of people think that Dubai is just super, super expensive. Which it is, but they still have nice hotels in good locations that are reasonable.
And you tickled me when you told me the story, and I think you shared it with the show also, when you and your girlfriend ate at the restaurant and you almost ordered caviar.
Yes, Lord.
It was like $600 or $800.
$800 a gram. It was not even a can. It was $800 a gram. And somebody said a gram is about a tablespoon. I said, Lord, thank you. If ever I wanted to thank the Lord, praise Jesus, that my friend Laverne said.
Because you almost
like
ordered
it,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
In fact, yeah. The only reason I didn't order it, because I thought it was about, you know, I thought it was probably 4 ounces. I thought it was going to be a 10, and we would have to sit there and eat all that, because caviar is not something that you can put in a doggy bag and take with you. And I didn't want to eat that much. And that's why I was asking my friend Laverne if she would help me eat it. And she said, I don't like caviar. And when I asked the server how much was it, and he said $800 a gram, I was just blown away, and I said, $800? And he said, madam, it is Iranian caviar, the best caviar in the world. And I said, well, $800 a gram? And then I had to catch myself, because you can't curse in Dubai.
Like South Bay's golden tomahawk, huh?
Tomahawk, the $2,000 steak, yeah. No, it's something that I just ain't going to do. And $800 a gram for caviar and a $2,000 steak, no. Now, had I won $4 or $5 million in the lottery or something, maybe.
I hope we win the lottery before my birthday.
I'm about to give up on the lottery.
And you know what? And that's when we'll win.
Oh, is that when you win?
Yeah.
Okay.
It might manifest it.
Okay.
Before we conclude, tell us about yesterday at the Kentucky Derby Day event.
Yesterday,
hosted by the
Kansas. Yeah, it was a very nice event. It was kind of like a fundraiser for cancer survivors and the cancer, not American Cancer Society. This lady is local here in the Metroplex, and she has four or five events a year to raise money for whatever cancer, or Fashions for Cancer or Fashions for the Cure. I think it's Fashions for the Cure because I went with a friend of mine. And, they had chicken and waffles and mimosas and fruit salad. That was for the meal. And they had some of the survivors to come up and model, which, you know, nothing fancy or anything like that. It was just a nice event. And like I said, it was more of a fundraiser.
Yeah.
But they had some vendors there who sell different items. One is kind of like, I guess, Vistaprint or whatever they do. Stuff.
I love Vistaprint.
Does. This lady does stuff for family reunions or organizations or whatever. And then one lady had something kind of like candles or whatever. She decorated containers for candles and stuff. So it was a nice little event. But I didn't go all out dressing like I was going to the Kentucky Derby, which was the theme. I just went, like I said,
right.
My friend asked me to go, and it was a fundraiser. So it was $25 per person, and I'm like, okay, I can donate that.
Great.
Yeah.
That was a good price. Now, events like that,
yeah,
when they're held here, they are pricey. No joke. Ooh. They're beautiful, but they are pricey. $25, that is nice.
And then my friend came and got me. She lives in Garland, and the event was in Mesquite. So I couldn't say no.
Oh, nice.
You know, taxi service, free ride is what it was. I mean, she's not a taxi driver or anything, but I thought that was very sweet of her to come all the way from Garland to pick me up, and then we went way over in Mesquite. And she brought me back home.
Right, so you all had a really nice sightseeing drive too.
Yeah, and they're doing so much work on LBJ. Beth, you wouldn't recognize LBJ.
Wow.
Yeah, it's torn all up. They're trying to expand it, and probably by the time it's finished, it'll still be outdated with as many people as it is moving.
Right. Dallas is so fast about expanding and upgrading, but still can't keep up with time.
They can't keep up.
And California is invading Texas, right?
Yeah.
A lot of Californians are invading Texas.
Yes, the taxes, because, you know, there's no state income tax here. And that's a huge savings in itself.
We have some politicians that are trying to change Mississippi to a no tax state. But it's probably because of our connection with Texas. You know, because of the relationship with Texas also, like, hey, good point.
Yeah, Mississippi needs to come down off some of those taxes, especially license plate taxes. That so-called road and privilege tax when you buy your automobile and you have to pay those outrageous rates for a tag.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So where were you all dying on the third Saturday next month?
My friend that called when I was, talking with you, she had asked me where was the next one going to be, so I haven't really decided. Priscilla, my friend from yesterday, had mentioned a restaurant called Soiree in Oak Cliff, and I told her if she comes to pick me up, then we can go to Soiree, because it looks real nice. You ought to check it out, Soiree, Dallas on Marcellus. Yeah, it looks real nice, but she said her son had taken her over there. And she really enjoyed it. So I told her, I don't know how to drive to Oak Cliff. And if she comes to pick me up, then we can have lunch there.
What is it on again, Marcellus?
Uh-huh. And it's S-O-I-R-E-E.
Okay. Yeah, I would check that out when we hang up, when we conclude the program. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's good. We're concluding because my battery is going dead. That's probably why you had trouble hearing me.
Oh, okay, because I know your voice, it was skipped for like, not long, but like 10 seconds, 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah, I had to come over outlet and plug it in.
Okay, so should we continue the Black History till next Sunday or Sunday after next? And then I'll get it together so you can share it with your friends like you did with the show in New Orleans, Wake Up New Orleans. And Cousin Linda, that was a fabulous show. That was a beautiful interview that you had with Brother Warren.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was beautiful.
And a couple of my friends, I think about three of them, tuned in later on and listened to it, and they said they really enjoyed it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it because you are a soldier, and I loved it how he branded you as a soldier.
Mm-hmm. I did,
too. You are.
Yeah, and I've been posting some Black History stuff on Facebook. I don't know if you've been getting the notifications for that. But, you know, just
well,
general
I have looked at it. I have read and looked at some of it and liked it. I need to make sure I get my notifications because usually I get your posts, get your, you know, the notifications, even if I'm not online. You know how you get the alert? I would get the notice to look at your page. So I need to fix that so I can see what your post. But you post some things that I have never, ever, ever, ever heard of. And that's the point about the importance of Black history.
That's what one of my friends in Atlanta told me. And I didn't even know he would see my stuff, but he'll every now and then, like once every 8 or 9 months, say, you put some good stuff out there. But when I see something on YouTube, because actually a lot of it YouTube suggests, I might go on there looking for one thing, and then I'll see a lot of, you know how they have the suggestions on the side, and I'll go ahead and post it online. Mm-hmm.
And
but,
I don't know, YouTube is amazing. The suggestions for you, aren't they on point? I mean, when
yes,
they say this
are.
Is suggested for you, I'm like, how do you know? But you're so right.
Mm-hmm.
The suggestions for you are amazing. I love that feature. Like you are YouTube, you got it.
Yeah, I do too.
So YouTube stories to you, because oh my goodness, my mouth just dropped when I looked at those posts.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about writing? You ever thought about writing your own book about your experiences?
No.
Regarding Black?
No.
Just
like
stick
to
Myrna's Adventure.
I don't think it would be marketable because, you know, so many publishing companies don't want to publish anything. And they look at your manuscript and just throw it in the garbage. And I don't have the time or the patience to be trying to find a publisher. And if they don't think that that they're going to make money, they won't publish anything. And it's so many people out there who are writing books and stuff. So I'm like, I'm not going to go through that again. Now, if somebody wanted to ghostwrite it for me and have a publisher, I would love to do it, but not on my own. Mm-mm.
Wow. So history buffs like myself and you, we can't win. We can't win. And that's what we need, more. We need more history books, fact-filled history books.
Yeah, you need Black experiences from Black people who experience these things. You know, you can read about Maya Angelou or you can read about Coretta Scott King or whatever, but to talk to somebody who actually was there and was actually involved you, in my opinion, you get a much better experience as to what happened.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm, but like I said, you have historians, professional writers and authors and whatever, and that's who is going to draw the attention. So, but anyway, cuz, I'll go ahead and let you go.
Yeah.
You said you were wrapping up, and I'm going to grab
Oh, yes. And it's time for news soon, right? It's right at news time.
Yeah, you're right.
Look, I talked about American Idol. I know you love The Masked Singer.
Yes, I do. Well, I have to, every Wednesday night, I'm there waiting for The Masked Singer.
Okay, well, American Idol tonight, two Mississippians are in the top 12. And they happen to be from the same county, too.
It comes on at 7 on ABC.
ABC. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have anything scheduled to watch at that time. I'll flip over there then.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad to chat with you. I love you. Can't wait to see you in person and I hang out with you and the ladies.
Yes. Well, I'm looking forward to it and love you too and looking forward to seeing you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you all listeners for listening to Cuck Entertainment Reports. It's always a blast to talk to my cousin Linda. Wow. In the near future, we will talk about etiquette and healthy living. And just so excited for the springtime. And don't hesitate to suggest topics and let us know if you would like to be a guest and come on and talk about what's important to you and or your business and your dick. Those of you that have been longtime listeners, you know we love to have people on to talk about their life experiences and their businesses and talk with musicians and artists. And don't hesitate to reach out in person if you're around me locally in Jackson, Mississippi, on social media, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, LinkedIn, email the show at Culture Shock Entertainment. _bet@yahoo.com. That's KULTRESHOKENT_bet@yahoo.com. KULTRESHOKENT_bet@yahoo.com. I repeat it one more time. KULTRESHOKENT_bet@yahoo.com. This week, definitely doing 5 o'clock, Monday through Thursday, 5 o'clock. Friday, we'll do evening at 4 like we did this past Friday. But mornings, I know international friends like that because when we air in the morning, it's usually afternoon, time in London, or dinner time or late night. Late night in Japan. I know it's late night in Japan when it's early morning here. I know it's late night in Japan. So big shout out to my native U.S., number 2, listening country, Turkey, 3, Pakistan, number 4, Nigeria, number 5, Australia, then there's Brazil, Romania, and Finland. But a shout out to all listeners from around the world, from villages, towns, cities, from the island communities, big shout out. Thank you for your love and your support. Thank you for supporting the new podcast that I'm premiering on Spotify, Cut the Shot Entertainment Reports exclusive And you can check it out also on iHeartRadio and soon on other favorite music and podcast platforms. Thank you for listening and supporting Culture Shock Entertainment Reports right here at the BTR community. Big shout out to the management staff here at BTR and fellow podcasters and you amazing listening friends. Remember, if you do not have a listener profile created so you can chat in the chat room and interact with the BTR community, I really appreciate your love and your support. Thank you so much. Thank you, Cousin Linda, for your love and support and being co-host.
Okay, you can fit in there? Good.
Around the old Marquette, Jackson, Dip, and Gunn.